ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 द डेमिगॉड्स एंड द डीमंस डिक्लेयर ए ट्रूस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। श्री ब्रह्मा उवाच अजात जन्मा स्थिति संयमाय गुणाय निर्वाण सुखार्णवाय अनोरणिन्ने परिगण्य धामने महानुभावाय नमो नमस्ते। श्री ब्रह्म उवाच अजात जन्मा स्थिति संयमाय गुणाय निर्वाण सुखार्णवाय अनोरणिम्ने परिगण्य धामने महानुभावाय नमो नमस्ते। श्री ब्रह्म उवाच अजात जन्मा स्थिति संयमाय गुणाय निर्वाण सुखार्णवाय अनोरणिम्ने परिगण्य धामने महानुभावाय नमो नमस्ते। बोलो चैंट। श्री ब्रह्मा उवाच Lord Brahma said, Ajata Janma Sthiti Samyamaya. Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never born, but whose appearance in different incarnations never ceases. Agunaya, never affected by the modes of material nature. Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. Nirvana, Sukha, Arnavaya. Under the ocean of eternal bliss, beyond material existence. Ano, Animne, smaller than the atom. Aparigandhyadhamne, whose bodily features are never to be conceived by material speculation. Mahanubhavaya, whose existence is inconceivable. Namaha, offering our obeisances. Namaha, again offering our obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Ajopisan Navyayatma, Bhutanam Ishvaropisan, Prakritim Swam Adhisthaya, Sambhavami Atmamayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. In the following verse in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutthanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srujamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practices, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, there is no cessation in it to His appearance in different forms as incarnations like Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. Since His incarnations are eternal, the various activities performed by these incarnations are also eternal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear because He is forced to do so by karma, like ordinary living entities who are forced to accept a certain type of body. It is to be understood that the Lord's body and activities are all transcendental, being free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. These pastimes are transcendental bliss to the Lord. The word Aparigandhya Dhamne is very significant. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations. All of these incarnations are eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirindasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, in the last chapter, the demigods offered prayers to the Lord for protection from the demons. Now, this chapter is the demigods and the demons declare a truce. So, the Lord, after the prayers of demigods, the Lord gave them a darshan. And then, as it is customary, the Lord Brahma started offering prayers to the Lord again. Right? So Bhagavatam is full of prayers by various devotees. By reading these prayers very carefully and scrutinizingly, we can understand lot of tattva, divya jnan, from these prayers. And here in this verse, Lord Brahma is speaking, how, my dear Lord, even though you are unborn, you take so many births, incarnations, and even though you take so many incarnations, all your bodies are full of bliss. Right? So, how many of you know 10th chapter, 3rd verse? Very important verse. Yomam ajam anadimcha vetiloka maheshwaram asammuda samartyeshu sarvapape pramuchyate. How many of you know this verse? Come on. 9th and 10th chapters, they are the most important chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Most important. Everybody should by heart both 9th and 10th chapters. Because Prabhupada says, 2nd and 3rd chapters, they give knowledge which is sufficient for liberation. And that is called guhya, confidential. And 7th and 8th chapters, they give knowledge about Bhagavan and devotion service and other, some knowledge, which is sufficient for, even if you are somebody is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta or a Karma Mishra Bhakta, they can still achieve Vaikuntha liberation. That is called Guhya Tara, more confidential. And then Guhya Tamam means 9th chapter and 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is said that Rajaguhya Yogam, 9th chapter, the most confidential knowledge. Why it is called most confidential knowledge? Because there is Pradhani Buddha Bhakti and Keval Bhakti. Pradhani Buddha Bhakti means that is knowledge that is given in 7th and 8th chapter. Just like 2nd and 3rd chapters, that knowledge is actually in Sattvaguna. Right? Sattvaguna. And this 7th and 8th chapter Bhagavad Gita, for performing these yogas, whether it is Jnana Yoga or Jnana Mishra Yoga, Bhakti or whatever, first one has to perform Nishkama Karma, purify one's heart, then one can perform, then only they get. But the significance of 9th and 10th chapters, Krishna explains, Kevala Bhakti. So this, the significance of Kevala Bhakti is that you don't need prior qualification for performing this Bhakti that is explained by Krishna in the 9th and 10th chapter. Very important. So, this Bhakti that is described, Bhakti Yoga that is described in 9th and 10th chapters is beyond three modes of nature. And there is no need to purify your heart to perform this Bhakti Yoga, pure devotional service, explained by Krishna in 9th and 10th chapters. And there is no bar for any living entity to perform devotional service. Anybody, even the most sinful person, can perform this devotional service and achieve perfection. That is why this is a very important chapter. You know, Kevala Bhakti is explained by Krishna in these two chapters. So, the greatest obstacle for performing devotion service is our previous sinful activities. Right? So, there are so many lifetimes, like 311 trillion, 40 billion years, Brahma lives. And that many years we lived in our last life, in our previous appearance. Then after that, when Brahmaji dies, we all the living entities go and merge with the Mahavishnu's body. Along with their karmas, they hang in there. And again when the creation takes place. So like that, just imagine how much karma we have accumulated. You know, how many sinful reactions we have accumulated in our previous lives. But if you understand this 10th chapter, 3rd verse, Krishna is giving us assurance. Right? If you understand these three things, what is that? If somebody understands that Krishna is unborn, Ajam. And if somebody understands Krishna is beginningless, and somebody understands that Krishna is the Lord of all planetary systems, Asammuda, without any doubt, Samartyeshu, those who take birth in this world, such people, Sarva Papai Pramuchyate, they will become free from all sinful reactions. All sinful reactions. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, please hear carefully. I'll give you very interesting points. You might not have noticed. So, Prabhupada says, quoting 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kashchidyat Siddhaye, he says that there are many, many living entities, you know, who are not at all interested in trying to understand what is Brahman, spiritual realization. But all those millions of living entities who are actually trying to attain moksha, attain perfection in spirituality, they are very, very fortunate. Amongst them, one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna is unborn, and Krishna is beginningless, he is considered the most successful spiritually realized person. Is it clear? Clear? So we are all the most spiritually successful persons because we understand that Krishna is unborn. Krishna is beginningless. Krishna is Lord of all. You just understand these three words. You accept without any doubt. Right? Without any doubt. Asammuda, Krishna says, the meaning of Asammuda means somebody is thinking knowledge of something else is knowledge of me. He is actually Sammuda. Right? We have some other knowledge, but we are thinking that it is knowledge of Krishna. That is called bewilderment. Asammuda means one who is perfect knowledge of Krishna, that Krishna is the unborn, Krishna is beginningless, Krishna is Lord of all planetary systems. So Prabhupada makes another point in the purport that Krishna creates everything. Right? And Krishna creates even Brahma also. Like Arjuna, Vishnu Chakra poses this point. Even Brahma also doesn't know that you are unborn and all. So Prabhupada, they know. Brahma and all, they know. But that is why they are actually great spiritual master. But all other living entities, they don't know that I am unborn. Right? So it is very important that even the Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also, they are created by Lord Krishna. But nobody has created Krishna. That is why Krishna is the superior to even Lord Brahma and Lord Krishna also. So, Prabhupada makes this point that anybody who understands that everything is created by Krishna, but Krishna is different from His creation, such a person, he will become free from all sinful reactions. Is it clear? Everything is created by Krishna, but Krishna is completely different from His creation. One Maharaj was saying that many people, Christians, theologists and all, they don't have an answer. Because these Karmis, they argue that if Krishna, God has created this world, means just like a potter creates a pot with the mitti, right, with the layer. So his hands also become dirty. When the potter creates, when makes a pot, his hands also become dirty, right? Like that, God also when He creates, He is also becomes influenced by whatever is created. Right? So if there is ignorance in this world, there must be ignorance in God also. Right? But these Christian philosophers, they don't know. They cannot explain. That is why all the science has taken. But Bhanu Maharaj very nicely explained that we have understanding that Krishna never touches. Just like Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, clouds give the rain. And depending on the different seeds and other circumstances, different trees grow. Some useless trees grow, some very useful trees grow, some very fragrant flower trees grow. Right? But the clouds have nothing to do with that. Clouds are not, they are completely impartial. Right? Clouds are only just giving rain. Like that, Krishna, it all depends what kind of body we get and all, whether we are knowledgeable or ignorant, it all depends on our activities. So, Maharaj explains that Krishna has many different energies. Like we are Tatastha Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, and then internal potency. So Krishna has nothing to do with this creation. His external energy he is taking care. That is why he is not at all touched. He is not at all, he is completely full of knowledge, completely full of bliss, completely full of eternity. But all this world here, he is completely non-touched by. So if you understand this, this is one sentence Prabhupada writes, 10th chapter, 3rd verse, that if you understand that Krishna is different from his creation, that's why by studying the creation, you cannot understand the creator. By studying this, all these energies, you cannot understand Krishna. That is why Achintya, this is inconceivable. You cannot understand because Krishna is completely different. If you can understand this, then Krishna, Prabhupada is saying that we will become free from all sinful reactions at one stroke. Right? Sau sonar ka? Bolo? Sau sonar ka? Ek lohar ka. Right? Sonar, goldsmith. Tuck, 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 tuck. So much time he takes. Right? We give order our silver mukut, gold mukut. He gives us 3 months, 4 months, like that. Right? But blacksmith, heat it and then, down. One stroke and it breaks. Like that. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, 9th and 10th chapters, is like a blacksmith. Ek lohar ka. All our sinful reactions, they get destroyed simply by understanding few verses of Bhagavad Gita. In this regard, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur comments that Yomam Ajam Anadim Cha Vetiloka Maheshwaram. Another meaning is that you understand that even though I am unborn, still I am born. This word Cha, Vishwanatha Chakra represents, this word Cha represents, I am all, even though I am unborn, I am saying, I also take birth. And then Yo Mam, this Mam represents, just like Arjuna seems to be asking Krishna, that how do you understand that you are standing in front of me, that you are unborn? But Krishna is, Vishwanatha says, that pointing fingers to his chest, he is saying that actually, even though I am unborn, still I am born. That is why he used that word, Yomam Ajam, Yomam Mam, that word Mam represents that he is pointing to Vasudev Krishna. He is standing there. Say that even though I am unborn, I take birth. Then you must understand that I take birth from Vasudeva. That's why I am known as Vasudeva. This is actually inconceivable. How Krishna is unborn, at the same time, he is born. Like that. That is why Uddhava, he says that all those people, they become very bewildered. My dear Lord, even though you are unborn, you take birth. Right? You, even though you don't have to do any work, right? If you read Krishna book, there is a chapter, Krishna's daily activities. Right? Krishna is performing. Like that. That is why another verse, you know, other day I quoted, you know, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spruha, itimam abhijanati, karma bir nasabadyate. Anybody who understands that actually I don't have to do any work. But even if I do work, just like creation of this material world or creation of these bodies of these jivas, still I don't hanker for the results of my activities. Anybody who understands these two things, what is that? Krishna doesn't have to do any work. Namam karmani limpanti. Name karma phale spruha. He has no desire for results of the activities that he does. Itimam yobi janati. Such a person also will become like me. Become like me, right? Not bound by any karma. So, here, Shri Baldev Vidya Bhushan says that, so Uddhava was saying that even though you don't have to do any work, you perform so many activities. Even though you are self-realized, you dance with the gopis or you get married to all the 16,108 wives. You know, like that, it is very bewildering, my dear Lord. So Uddhava is saying, Prabhupada quotes from Laghu Bhagavatamrita that he actually, Krishna is saying that even though while Mother Yashoda trying to bind me, you know, she cannot bind me with the strings of the bells, but at the same time, you know, she bound me. That is inconceivable. You know, that is why here the word achintya, without you understanding this word achintya shakti, achintya, we cannot understand Krishna's pastimes. How he is unborn, at the same time he is born. Right? And then Krishna is saying that I am actually different from all this matter, right, which has no qualities, which is not conscious. And I am different from all the living entities also, because even though the living entities are also known as aja, unborn, aja, right? Na jayate, mriyate va kadachin, nayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuyaha, ajo nityaha, shashvatoyam purano. We are also considered unborn, but still we keep taking material bodies. That is why Krishna is saying, I am different from the matter, which is not conscious. I am different from all living beings, because they are taking bodies again and again. Then Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, I am different from all those living entities who are sadhana siddhas. Because when somebody becomes perfect, he also becomes unborn. Right? Aja. But I am different because their liberation has started at one point. But I am eternally liberated. That is why I am different from all those living entities who are become perfect by sadhana. And I am different from all those Nityamuktas also in the spiritual world. Because even though they are unborn like me, but they are not the controllers of this planetary system. That is why he added that word, Vetiloka Maheshwara. That is why. So this is a very interesting verse. So Prabhupada quoted this verse, Ajopisan Avyayatma. So this verse also has so many very deep meaning. Swam Prakritim Ajopisan Avyayatma, you know, Prakritim Swam, you know, Adhishtaya, it comes, you know, Bhutanam Ishwaropisan. So Swam Prakriti means own form. Swam Prakriti means in my original form. Aja Api means emphatic, even though I am unborn. Ajopisan Avyayatma. Avyayatma means my body is like other people's bodies. They are not transformation possible, not possible. They are indestructible, right? And this ignorance and this change of there are shadvikara that takes place in our body, six types of changes that take place in our body. They don't take place in my body, right? That is why Bhutanam Ishwaropisan, I am the controller of all living entities. Right? Then Prakritim Swam means in my original Swarupa I come. Okay? Then Atmamaya, Prabhupada says, Maya has two meanings, pride and the mercy. So why Krishna comes? Ajopisan Avyayatma, Bhutanam Ishwarupisan, Prakritim Swam Adhisthaya, Sambhavami Atmamayaya. By my causeless mercy, in order to deliver all living entities. Right? That is why. So, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti comments that usually Lord is very merciful. Actually, Prabhupada writes, the Lord is very merciful to all the liberated souls in Vaikuntha, as Vaikunthanath, as Lord Vishnu Narayana in Vaikuntha planets. But when Krishna, he comes in his original form in this material world, you know, he is very, very merciful to all the living entities. Not only to the devotees who are performing devotional service, even to the demons who are killed by Krishna. So that is why Srila Vishwanatha Thakur comments that the so-called cruelty of killing yadayadehi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham, right? Paritranaya saudunam vinashayacha dushkritam. It is said that that so-called cruelty is transformed into mercy by delivering all the people, even the demons. Anybody who has seen Krishna, when Krishna is present on this in this material world for 125 years, whoever has seen Krishna, they all went back home back to Godhead. Everybody. Right? So that is the importance of why Krishna appears. You know, why Krishna appears in this world? People, you know, atheistic people, they have an objection. Why he has to appear? Right? Why he has to appear? But Krishna appears so that, Prabhupada writes, his devotees, they are always meditating on his wonderful form and his lotus feet. And they feel great separation in their hearts that they are not able to see Krishna. Right? That is why Krishna appears. And he performs wonderful pastimes, so that even after 5,000 years, right, people are singing glories of Krishna. Still people are, so many great writers, great devotees, they are writing books. Prabhupada said, there is no greater scholar than Sri Jiva Goswami, who wrote 1 lakh verses glorifying Krishna. Right? Now who cares? You know, there are so many books about Gandhi. Now nobody cares. Right? There are so many emperors, they write some books, some 10, 15 books. Right? Now nobody cares. Right? Some joke is there. Somebody was going, and then liquor shop was, the school was closed. You know, he came to meet some person in the school. Then that person said, "Are, aaj koi nahi aaya, nobody came. Malum nahi aaj Gandhi Jayanti hai." Well, that fellow was saying, "I know Gandhi, who is this Jayanti?" Right? Now somebody cares, right? Even for Gandhi also, everybody give galis. Right? Like that. So, even now people are, you know, glorifying Krishna. Right? So, why so many incarnations? Right? Why so many incarnations? One form of Krishna is not sufficient? Right? So, Brahmaji answers, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita swayoga ase sutekshita nanunata pumsham. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hritsaroja ase sutekshita nanunata pumsham yaddhat diya Bhagavate vibhavayanti yattat vapuhu pranayase sadanugrahaya. So, no? Third kind of Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is saying, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja asse sutekshita nanunata pumsham. My dear Lord, those devotees who worship you through their ears by hearing your wonderful pastimes, you know, you go and sit in their hearts. You go and sit in their hearts. Yaddad diya. It is said that why? Because whenever whoever devotee in whichever form they want to worship you, you know, yattad vapuh, you know, pranayase sadanugrahaya, by your causeless mercy you appear in his heart in that form. Somebody may be fond of Prabhupada writes, every devotee has a eternal relationship with the Lord, and he is an eternal servitor of the Lord, you know. So he has a natural relationship with the Lord, you know, that natural swarupa he has, and then according to that he is attracted to a particular form of the Lord, right? So in order to satisfy the desires of the devotee, the Lord appears in that particular form in his heart, right? Like that, so Srila Prabhupada writes, from this verse we can understand that Krishna becomes subordinate to the desires of his devotees. Anybody who worships him in a particular form, in that particular form, in order to satisfy the devotees, in order to please the devotees, the Lord appears in that form. Like that is why there are so many incarnations, there are so many devotees, and there are so many devotees have different desires. So that is why Krishna appears in that particular form. So it is very, very important. So Prabhupada says, but those who are pseudo devotees, you know, those who are not sincere in their performance of devotional service, they cannot actually achieve Krishna consciousness, achieve perfection. But this Krishna consciousness is available to everybody. Every living entity has a right to worship Krishna. Right? That is why Prabhupada writes that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu, Bhaktishche Navalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavati Adha, Tanmanye Dhitam Uttamam. So, here Prabhupada writes in the purport, these nine kinds of devotional practices can be performed. Iti Pumsarpita means Prabhupada writes that it is available, any living entity can perform, there is no debar. You know, all the other Vedic processes only Brahmanas can perform. You know, you require qualification. But this pure Krishna consciousness can be performed by anybody in this world, any living entity, even animals, you know, even snakes, you know, demons, yakshas, you know, human beings, you know, vaishyas, sudras, women, dvijabandhus, everybody can perform. You know, iti pumsharpita Vishnu. Because then Prabhupada writes, very interesting purport, that usually people perform activities and give the results of those activities to Vishnu. But here, Prahlad Maharaj, he is create a Bhagavati Adha. You can directly perform devotional service to Krishna. Direct, there is no in between. Then Prabhupada makes another point, that sannyas means, there is a difference between sannyas and nyas. Sannyas means giving the, like that is why they carry tridanda, our Vaishnava sannyasis. Because BMW, body, mind and words, you give arpan, you surrender to Krishna. Nyasa means giving the results of our activities. So, Prabhupada makes very interesting point that in general, somebody may perform some activities with mind, body and words. Right? But in Krishna consciousness, one first surrenders mind, body, words to Krishna, then performs activities with mind, body and words, that pleases Krishna. That Krishna desires. So that should be our position. You know, not that I want to do this, I want to do that. Whatever that is pleasing to Krishna, we should be ready to do, right? With our mind, body and words. That is called real sannyas. Right? So, you know, in Ramayana there is one very interesting pastime. we should make an endeavor, right? If you want to achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness, if you want to achieve our swarupa, you know, and establish our relationship with Krishna, you know, there are two things required, right? One is our human endeavor, another is grace of the Lord, you know, mercy of the Lord, right? One very interesting pastime. After the Kaikeyi told then that you have to go to the forest, Ram came and informed Sita that we have to go to the forest. Then Sita convinces him that I also will come with you. Then Lakshman said, I also will come with you. Then Ram told Sita ji that, see Sita, we are going for 14 years. So it's not that, you know, we will preserve all our wealth and all in our, you know, safe box in the bank and go. No, we will donate all the our wealth and go. Like that. So Ram called Vasishtha's son, Sujanya. Then he gave his own elephant, you know, Sujanya, right? And then 1,000 more elephants he gave to, and so much wealth he gave to Vasishtha's son. And Sita ji, she also gave so many, all her jewelry, wonderful jewelry, she got to Vasishtha, that Vasishtha Muni's the son's wife, right? Then he gave Ram arranged 14 years salary for all the servants, workers who are doing work, the service in the palace, so that they don't have to struggle to go somewhere else, right? And then 80 bullock carts worth jewels he sent to the Gurukul, who are poor students who are studying Vedas, you know, performing austerity. And then 200 bullocks for cultivation, 1,000 cows for nourishment, everything he gave. Like that. And then, meanwhile, there is one Brahmana, his name was Srijata. He is a descendant of Gargi Muni. He came running, Rama, Rama, Rama. So Rama looked, there is one gentleman, he is very, very weak, emaciated, looking very, you know, thin. You know, all the bones are visible. All the bones are visible. And he went, you know, he was wearing a small loincloth and a stick in his hand. You know, a stick in his hand. And then walking, flailing, you know, he came. And then, because he was a Brahmana, even though he was looking very dirty because of walking from far, even though he is very looking poverty stricken, emaciated, but certain kind of effulgence was emanating from his body. Seeing that effulgence, there are 5 gates to Rama's palace, right? And then in the gardens, Rama and Sita, they were just now donated everything. And that person came running, Rama, Rama. And then when he looked at the lotus face of Ramchandra, he became so enlivened, became so blissful, that actually he was a very, very selfless Brahmana, doesn't want to ask anything. But his wife, who is also very emaciated, and she kept her hunger-stricken children in front of him. I said, at least, if not for you, at least for your sake, you go and ask Rama, because Rama is very benevolent, munificent, charitable person. I heard that he is giving away all his wealth. You go and ask. Like that. Then he came running, but even though that was the purpose, when she saw, but he was actually cursing his wife for forcing him to do like that, because he didn't want to ask anything from anybody. And then that Brahmana thanked his wife after seeing the lotus face of Rama, that he, you know, even if Rama doesn't give anything to me, my visit is successful just because my eyes became very, you know, full of bliss by seeing Ramchandra's lotus face. Then the Trijata asked, I heard that, you know, you are giving charity, giving away all your wealth. I also need something. There Ramchandra was, Sitaji looked at Ramchandra's face. There was a twinkle in his eyes. There is some naughtiness in his eyes. And then Rama was smiling. Sitaji is wondering what the Lord is up to. Why is there is a twinkle and naughtiness in his eyes and he is smiling. Then the Trijata asked, give me something. Ramchandra told that I have decided to give away all the wealth to Brahmanas. Right? But just now I have given away everything. But still there are some cows, only wealth left is there are some cows left on the other side of Saryu River. I will give you, but on one condition. Right? It is described that Trijata's face changed expressions just like weather in the hill station. When he said that, I am giving away all the wealth, I decided to give away all the wealth. You know, his face beamed like when the sun rises sometimes on the hill. Right? When he said that, I have given away all wealth. You know, his face became very gloomy, just like when there is a rain on the, you know, like that. When he said, but still there is some wealth, you know, then his face became, you know, just like when there is a rainbow, when there is a sun and there is a water, you know, there is rain also. Right? Different. Like that, there is a gloominess and there is shine also. So like that, his face changed expression. You know, little bit gloomy and little bit shining. You know? And again he said, there is one condition. And then he was wondering, again his face changed. You know, wondering, now what? Then Ramchandra said, see, there are all my wealth, or, you know, other side of the Saryu River. Right? You take this stick and throw the stick. You know, if that stick reaches there, and how many cows will fall into that region that you threw the stick? That many cows is yours. You know, and then Sitaji was wondering, is that man, he was so frail looking, so thin, Brahmana, and what kind of test he is putting? And then that Brahmana was also bewildered. Hey, kya, what test is this? Right? Then, the Trijata, he said, no problem. He took out his chadar, and then he tied around his waist. Right? He took his stick, he put his front foot, right foot forward, and then because that is few thousand meters away, you know, because he was sitting in the palace, and that palace gates are there, and the roads are there, and the river is there, and the after that bank, like that. Then he wheeled it and wheeled it and wheeled, and then he told Rama, and then threw it. Right? And then everybody was surprised. It went on, and then it crossed the palace gates, it crossed the palace streets, it crossed the Ayodhya, the Saryu River, and then it fell, you know, on the edge of the bank, other side of the bank, right? Covering all the cows. Ramchandra smiled and said, it's all the cows are yours. You take. Right? Then later on, Sitaji was wondering, ye kya test? She looked at him saying that this is not fair. No? This is not fair. Then Ramchandra told that, please forgive me for this useless test. Like that. So our commentators say, that there are four bejeweled lessons one can learn from this pastime. One is you know, there somebody may look very strong outside, but he may not be very strong internally. Externally he may be strong. Somebody may be externally weak, but somebody may be internally very strong. There's a spiritual success, you know, that doesn't depend on external strength. You know, it needs internal strength. Even though Brahmana outside externally very fragile, you know, but internally is very strong. You know, another thing is that first deserve, Prabhupada said, you know, first deserve and then desire. Right? If you want charity, then you must make an endeavor. You know, you must work for that. Right? Anything in this world, right? Especially in spiritual life. If you want, you know, material life, it all depends on destiny and all that stuff. But in spiritual life, the success of a spiritualist depends on the endeavor he makes. The more endeavor you make, the fast, like Jayananda Prabhu became perfect in 11 years. 10 years, right? He became perfect. Prabhupada certified, he went back home, back to Godhead. 10 years life, right? Dhruva Maharaj in 6 months, right? Chitraketu in 1 week, right? He became perfect. Like that, depending on our endeavor. The third one is this endeavor and human endeavor and then God's grace, Krishna's grace. You know, it all depends. You know, so when we make a sincere effort, then Krishna will show His mercy. Right? Once somebody approached Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, please enlighten me." Prabhupada said, "I cannot enlighten you, but I will tell you how to become enlightened." Right? That's why these Prabhupada books are meant for that. Right? So, number four, evaluating our thoughts is good, but begging forgiveness for our faulty actions is very important. Right? So from this this pastime we can understand that it doesn't matter whether it is materially or weak or strong, it doesn't matter. You know, if you make a sincere endeavor, whatever birth you might have taken, you know, whatever may be your background, you know, if you make a sincere endeavor, Krishna and Prabhupada will show us mercy. Right? So, we should actually, there is another pastime from Ramayana. From Lakshmana's life, you know, Lakshmana is Mahabhagavat. Right? We can actually imitate his behavior. We should learn from his behavior how to completely, Prabhupada says, 9th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam. Very interesting point Prabhupada says. Jnanam means theoretical knowledge. What is the theoretical knowledge? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. That is theoretical knowledge. Vijnanam means practical knowledge. Practical knowledge means this act of surrender is vijnana. Right? This act of surrender is vijnana. So surrendering means trying to satisfy Krishna and Prabhupada according to their way, in the way they want, we should serve them. Not that we want to serve the way we want to serve. You understand the difference? Huh? You understand the difference? Huh? Huh? Sold out animal. Prabhupada says, sold out, you know, 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Ketasa Sarvakarmani, that verse is there. Some 58, 59 verse. Prabhupada says, a sold out animal has no rights. Like that, a devotee should not have any rights. Right? Now, women also, devotees, they are fighting equal rights. But devotees should not have any rights. That is real surrender. That is practical knowledge. Right? Once Rama and Sita, they were going in the forest. And then Ram was, you know, they were enjoying the Chitrakoot, you know, weather and all. Very beautiful place. And then Rama said, "These mountains have fulfilled my two desires. They gave me so much happiness." Said, "What is that?" "Oh, I have cleared my debt to my father by coming to the forest. Another is, I have made Bharat's life full of bliss by giving away my kingdom to him. So I am very happy. Then Rama looked at Sita and asked, Sita, how, you are happy? Are you happy with me in the forest? Sita ji said, I don't need so many things to make me happy. Only one thing I require is smile on your face. You know, smile on your, if there is a smile on your face, I am very happy. And then Rama and Sita, they were going. And then Lakshman became very excited. He came down running. Bhaiya, bhaiya, brother Ram, your house is ready. All the ingredients that are used, required for performing sacrifices, they are also ready. Said, come, come. Then Rama and Sita, they went running. And then Sita ji asked one question. Why do these sages, when we ask some question, they will always answer in an indirect way, so that unintelligent people cannot understand? Ram looked at Sita, said, what happened? So when we asked Valmiki Muni, which is the best place for our dwelling, for our living, he said, wherever the devotees, they chant and sing your glories, you should live in their hearts. Wherever devotees are free from anger, greed and all, in their hearts you should dwell. Wherever there is a cry for help, you should dwell in their hearts. And at that, then he said, you go 50 kilometers this way, and then this place is very nice. Why couldn't he tell? Why couldn't he tell that, he just go there? Then Ramji smiled at Sita and said, no, where there is dependence, there should be reassurance. Right? Where there is a responsibility, there should be a flexibility. Where there is a cry for need, we should be present in deed. So the what he meant is that Valmiki Muni wants us that, don't settle down very comfortably in a very nice house. if it is required, you should be ready to leave the place. Sita said, I have no problem. So he said, Sita, are you ready? Then they went to the place, and then Lakshman built a beautiful house according to the Vastu Shastra, and all the walls are bedecked with beautiful stones, diamonds and jewels that are available in Mandakini River. And the floor is completely covered with vermilion. And the Sita and Ram's private chamber is made with a canopy decorated with peacock feathers and different leaves. And Sita and Ram were amazed. Lakshman, how did you make manage such a nice house? How many days? It must have taken so many days and so many nights. So many days to acquire all the ingredients, and so many nights to build that place, like that. And then Ram again warned Sita that this is a beautiful place, but we should be ready to leave at any time. Then Sita ji looked at Lakshman. What is his what will be his feelings? So he asked Lakshman. She asked Lakshman, are you not feeling bad that any time we have to move out? Then Lakshman ji told Sita, Mother, it is our duty. Actually, one should not, my brother taught me that one should not perform one's duty to expect some rewards or appreciation. One must perform one's work as duty, like that. One should not like that. Then Sita ji was thinking, what kind of family is this? Everybody is trying to serve others. Everybody is trying to. So Sita ji was saying, these two families, they are like that. Nobody was thinking to enjoy, but every member of the family is thinking how to serve others. That's what Prabhupada wanted us. Krishna consciousness movement is not for our own enjoyment. It is the service of all entire human mankind, everybody. The entire world. So this, then Lakshmanji said, then Lord Ram is very happy and satisfied. Said, I came here for my own selfish reason to pay debt to our father. You have no need, my dear Lakshman. You are doing selfless service. Where did you learn how to build house? So Lakshmanji said, my dear Lord, the pain in your service is a source of great happiness to me. What? Right? Whatever pain we get by serving the deities or by going in the bus, you know, weathering the heat and cold, stomach upsets, hooliganism, all these are, should be, source of bliss. Not, are baba, itna takleef hota hai aaj kal, parking karne nahi dete, gaali dete, right? All this should be source of bliss. Then Lakshmanji said one very interesting thing, that when you are being trained as a master, I am getting trained as to be a servant. Right? So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we should train our, we should get training how to be a servant, not the master. Right? To such servants, Krishna will become very easily available. Right? Not to persons who are very proud. Right? Who don't want to do any service. Is it clear? So, like this, so many wonderful pastimes are narrated. All this Ramchandra Bhagwan, Lakshman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, they came and performed so many wonderful pastimes so that we can continuously narrate them and become in the association of devotees and become very blissful. You become so blissful because Krishna is completely personified bliss, that you don't even know when you are transferred to Golok Vrindavan. Then all this material life, you know, is like a dream. You know? So, what is the... there is one verse, 5th Canto Bhagavatam, that you cannot counteract bad dreams with hallucination. Right? How to counteract bad dreams? By waking up. Right? You just wake up in Krishna consciousness. Then all... this is Prabhupada says, then when you reach the spiritual world, then you will think that all this material world is like a bad dream. A bad dream for one few minutes only you remember. After that, you are busy with your own life. Like that, we forget. Right? So by becoming a servant, you know, by being trained to be a servant of the servant of the servant, right? That path becomes very, very easy. Okay? Hare Krishna, Dhanyavad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna.
Which verse?
Hare Krishna.
Beginningless. He is unborn, and then Ishvara Parma. Yeah, but you know, we all have a beginning, right? In this world, everything has a beginning. That's why he is specifying, I am beginningless. Because everything in this world is beginning, has a beginning. Just like it is explained by Baldev Vidya Bhushan, that a sadhana siddha, his liberation is also, has a beginning. But Krishna, he is unborn, and then his liberation is also beginningless. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda. So there is a small difference. Any other?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you told surrender. The surrender means to act to satisfy Lord Krishna according to his will and according to his desire.
His desire.
Yes, according to his desire and proper desire. So my question is that how one can understand that this is the desire of Lord Krishna or this is the desire of Prabhupada?
No, Prabhupada's desire and Krishna's desire are same. But we should understand what is my mind's desire and what is Prabhupada's desire.
My question is that how can one understand this? This is Krishna's desire.
Oh, it is Prabhupada says it is given in Bhagavad Gita as it is. So when Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya approached Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, Haridas, okay, by chanting Hare Krishna, everybody will become perfect. How? What about all these living entities other than human beings? What about all the people who have not taken up Krishna consciousness? How to deliver them? So Mahaprabhu is very dukkhi. He became very dukkhi. So Prabhupada writes, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is very, very distressed. He is very sad. The purpose of all devotees in Krishna consciousness movement is to relieve the distress of Lord Chaitanya. So this is what Krishna wants. This is what Prabhupada wants. Right? Preach Krishna consciousness. Yare deko tare kaho Krishna upadesh. You know, amara ajna guru hai tare desh. You know, by my order you become a guru and deliver the entire world. So whomever you see, you tell them Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Krishna wants. And everything is meant for that. This whole movement is meant for that. To inform people. Prabhupada said, if you don't know anything else, whomever you meet, you just tell them one sentence, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You'll become successful. Clear? Hare Krishna, Gandharva, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.